Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rav Ram Golda and Thirim Zichud Yavamas Daf Mem Dal, the fourth pair of Kocholos Vivimto. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the bottom, Daf Mem Gemot Mem Beis, stated, if four brothers were married to four women and then died, Imratza Gadol Shebehem Yabim Es Kulan Hareshus Biyado. If the eldest of the surviving brothers wants to take all of the widows in Yibum, he has the Rishus to do so. The one on this Daf challenges this ruling based on a Braisa that states, it's written in the Parsha of Yibum, but Dibru Elav, and the elder shall speak to him. This teaches that they give him advice that is fitting for him. For example, if he was young and the Yavama was old, or he was old and she was young, they would say to him, what do you have to do with a young woman, or what do you have to do with an older woman? Go after a woman that's around the same age as you, and do not bring strife into your home. Similarly, since the brother will have difficulty supporting four wives, he should not do Yibum to all of them. The Gemara answers that he has the means to provide for them. The reason the Mishnah only listed four wives and not more is Eitza Tova K'mashmon, because it's providing good advice that you take only four so that the onah, the intimate relations with each of them, should be at least once a month. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, if one was married to two women and he died, Biasa or Chalitzasa shall achas mehen boteret saratza. The Yavam, having relations or doing Chalitza with one of them, exempts her Sara. When the Gemara asks that the Yavam should be required to take both in Yibum, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk states, Asher leave nez beis achiv, so that he should not build his brother's house. This teaches, Bais echod hu bone ve'enu bone shnei batim. The Yavam builds one house for his brother, but he doesn't build two houses. When the Gemara then suggests he does chalitza with both wives, Mar Zutra bar Tuvi answered that the Pasuk states, Beis chalutz hana'al, the house of the removed shoe. This teaches Bais Echadu Choletz Ve'ino Choletz Shnei Batim. He performs Choletz with one house, meaning one widow, and not two houses. And point with you, the Gemara revises an earlier statement that Rabbi Yosef said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, to be, HaKom Modim Bebal Chai Ve'Krisa Shavrad Pagum. All agree regarding one who had relations with a woman prohibited, under the penalty of Karas, that the child born from that marriage is Pagum. He's tainted in regard to the Kahuna. Rashi explains that if the child is a girl, then she's like a chalala and is possible to marry a Kohen. The Gemara explains that the term hakol modim, all agree, is coming to include Rabbi Yeshua, who holds ein mamzer mechayv krisus, no mamzer results from a relationship that's prohibited under a penalty of karas. Even though no mamzer results, it's still tainted to the kahuna. This is learned from a kal vachomer from an almana. Just as an almana to a kohen gadol, shein isur shavu b'ko, whose prohibition is not uniform for everyone, since only a kohen gadol is prohibited to her, but not pagum, nevertheless her child is tainted to the kahuna, a woman who is prohibited under penalty of chorus, she is sura shava b'ko, whose prohibited status is equal to everyone, all the more so her child is pagum. And if you'll say that this can be refuted because the almana herself is mischalelis, she becomes a chalala, so too here, kevin shba'ala asa'a zona, the man who was forbidden to her by having relations with her has made her into a zona. Rashi explains that a zone is also prohibited to a kohen. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Gemot Mem Beis stated, if four brothers were married to four women and then died, Imratza Gadol Shebehem Yabim Es Kulan Hareshus Biyado. If the eldest of the surviving brothers wants to take all of the widows in Yibum, he has the Rishus to do so. The one on this Daf challenges this ruling based on a Braisa that states, it's written in the Parsha of Yibum, but Dibru Elav, and the elder shall speak to him. This teaches that they give him advice that is fitting for him. For example, if he was young and the Yavama was old, or he was old and she was young, they would say to him, what do you have to do with a young woman, or what do you have to do with an older woman? Go after a woman that's around the same age as you, and do not bring strife into your home. Similarly, since the brother will have difficulty supporting four wives, he should not do Yibum to all of them. The Gemara answers that he has the means to provide for them. The reason the Mishnah only listed four wives and not more is Eitza Tova K'mashmon, because it's providing good advice that you take only four so that the onah, the intimate relations with each of them, should be at least once a month. Point number two, the Mishnah stated, if one was married to two women and he died, Biasa or Chalitzasa shall achas mehen boteret saratza. The Yavam, having relations or doing Chalitza with one of them, exempts her Sara. When the Gemara asks that the Yavam should be required to take both in Yibum, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk states, Asher leave nez beis achiv, so that he should not build his brother's house. This teaches, Bais echod hu bone ve'enu bone shnei batim. The Yavam builds one house for his brother, but he doesn't build two houses. When the Gemara then suggests he does chalitza with both wives, Mar Zutra bar Tuvi answered that the Pasuk states, Beis chalutz hana'al, the house of the removed shoe. This teaches Bais Echadu Choletz Ve'ino Choletz Shnei Batim. He performs Choletz with one house, meaning one widow, and not two houses. And point with you, the Gemara revises an earlier statement that Rabbi Yosef said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, to be, HaKom Modim Bebal Chai Ve'Krisa Shavrad Pagum. all agree regarding one who had relations with a woman prohibited under the penalty of Karis that the child born from that marriage is pogum. He's tainted in regard to the kahuna. Rashi explains that if the child is a girl, then she's like a chalala and is possible to marry a kohen. The Gemara explains that the term hakol modim, all agree, is coming to include Rabbi Yeshua, who holds a mamzer machayv krisis, no mamzer results from a relationship that's prohibited under a penalty of karas. Even though no mamzer results, it's still tainted to the kahuna. This is learned from a kavachomer from an almana. Just as an almana to a kohen gadol, shein isura shava bako, whose prohibition is not uniform for everyone since only a kohen gadol is prohibited to her, but not pagum, nevertheless her child is tainted to the kahuna, a woman who is prohibited under penalty of Koras, she is sur shava bako, whose prohibited status is equal to everyone, all the more so her child is pogum. And if you'll say that this can be refuted because the almana herself is mischalelis, she becomes a chalala, so too here, kevin shba'ala asa'a azona, the man who was forbidden to her by having relations with her has made her into a zona. Well, she explains that a zona is also prohibited to a kohen. All right, so now we go to a simon daf mem dalet, and her standard simon is mud. Mud, so here goes. When the rich villager who made four mud huts for four widows from his four deceased brothers was stopped from making two mud huts for a single brother, he threw the mud away and it accidentally splattered onto a girl who was pugging to the kahuna because her parents had an Issacharis relationship. Once again, slow motion. When the rich villager who made four mud huts, that must be learned off Mem Dalet, mud. When the rich villager who made four mud huts for four widows from his four deceased brothers, which reminds us, the mission on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis stated, if four brothers were married to four women and then died, if the eldest of the surviving brothers wants to take all the widows in Yibum, he has a permission to do so, even though the elders gave a Yavam advice that's fitting for him, and supporting four wives would be difficult. In this case, he has the means to support them. The reason the Mishnah only listed four wives and not more is because it's providing good advice that he only take four, so that the onad, the intimate relations with each of them, be at least once a month. So, when the rich villager who made four mud huts for four widows from his four deceased brothers was stopped from making two mud huts for a single brother, which reminds us, the reason that a Yavam does not do Yibum to two wives of a deceased brother is based on the pasuk that states, Asher Livnez Beis Achiv, so that he should not build his brother's house. This teaches, Bais Echot Hu Bona Ve'enu Bona Shnei Batim. The Yavam builds one house for his brother, but he doesn't build two houses. He doesn't do chalitza with both wives, for the pasuk regarding chalitza says, Beis Chalitza Na'al, the house of the removed shoe. This teaches, Bais Echot Hu Cholitz Ve'enu Cholitz Shnei Batim. He performs chalitza with one house, meaning one widow, and not two houses. So, when the rich villager who made four mud huts for four widows from his four deceased brothers was stopped from making two mud huts for a single brother, he threw the mud away and it accidentally splattered onto a girl who was pugum to the kahuna because her parents had an Issacharis relationship. Which reminds us, the Gemara revises an early statement that Rabbi Yosef said named Rabbi Shimba Rebbe to be a komodim bebal chayv krisa shavrad pugum. All agree regarding one who had relations with a woman prohibited under the penalty of Karis that the child born from that marriage is pagum, she's tainted in regard to the kahuna. Rashi explains that if the child is a girl, then she's like a chalala and is puzzled to marry a kohen. The Gemara explains that the term all agree, a komodim, is coming to include Rabbi Yeshua, who holds a mamzer machayv krisus. No mamzer results from a relationship that's prohibited under penalty of Karis. Even though no mamzer results, it's still tainted to the kahuna. This is learned from a kavachomer from an almana. So once again, when the rich villager who made four mud huts for four widows from his four deceased brothers was stopped from making two mud huts for a single brother, he threw the mud away and it accidentally splattered onto a girl who was pogum to the kahuna because her parents had an Issacharis relationship. All right, now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf mem, so the simmer daf mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The father who inherited a swimming pool, that must mean we're on daf mem, mayim. The father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son, which reminds us, there's a Malchokas Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda regarding who inherits the deceased brother's property, his father or the Yavam. The Tanakama holds it's the Yavam, for the Pasuk states, Yakum al Shem Achiv, he shall succeed in the name of the deceased brother, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the father, for the Pasuk refers to the Yavam as the Bechor, to teach that he is Kebechor, like a Bechor. Just as a Bechor, even though he gets an extra share of the inheritance, does not get any of it while his father is still alive, so too the Yavam has none of the inheritance while his father is alive. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son, hosted a shnias of a chalutza swimming party, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Alchos Yabimta who asur b'krova seah, b'asur b'krova, one who did chalitza with his yabam is asur to her relatives, and she is asur to his relatives. Rabban decreed that since a chalutza is similar to a gerusha, the relatives that are forbidden to a husband and his ex-wife should apply to a chalutza as well. The Gemara asked that the Rabban decree shnias should be forbidden to a chalutza or not. Do we say that they only were goes to shnias where the primary relative is an erva deraisa, but for a chalutza, in which the primary relatives are only the Rabbanan, they did not, or were they gozer shnios? In any case, the Gemara brings up proof that they were gozer shnios from the fact that Ben Bito, his daughter's son, is forbidden to the chalutza, and that is a shnia relationship. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son hosted a shnius of a chalutza swimming party and invited a Yavim who did chalitza and was upset he couldn't marry the tzara of the sister of his chalutza. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Mutter ad mikrobas tzara's chalutza so, v'asa but tzara's krobas chalutza so. The Yavim is permitted to the relatives of the tzara of his chalutza, but is prohibited to the tzara of the relatives of his chalutza. The Gemara explains that regarding the relative of the chalutza, referring to her sister, who accompanies her to Beis Din, the Rabban decreed that she should be treated like the chalutza herself, and her tzara should become forbidden. Rashi clarifies that people might mistakenly think that the sister is the chalutza, and if the Yavim ever married the sister's tzara, people might think that he's doing Yibum with his chalutza's tzara, and that he's permitted to do so. Therefore, the Rabbanan prohibited one from marrying the tzara of his chalutza's sister. Daf Memalv, so the Siman Daf Memalv is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must mean we're in Daf Memalv. The grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died. Which reminds us, Gemara asks, Mesa Ishta Mahibi Yabimta, what is the din in a case of where a brother was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, who was waiting for Yibum, and the sister dies? Is the brother permitted to the Yavama? Rav and Rabbi Chinna both say he is permitted to take the Yavama, and Shmuel and Ravasi say that he's forbidden to take. Rav said that Rav's reason for permitting the Yavama is, Mishum Dehavi Yavama Shehutra Benesra V'chazir V'chutra, because he's the Yavama who was initially permitted to the Yavam, then forbidden, and then permitted again. Taksu Leheter HaRishon. Therefore, it's logical. She returns to her permitted state. Shmuel Ravasi hold Kevin Sha'amda Lav Sha'achas Be'isr Nesra Lav Olamis. Since the Yavama stood before the Yavam in a forbidden state for even one moment, she's forbidden to him forever. So the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do yibum. Which reminds Rav Yossi taught regarding chalitza, the pasuk states, imo yachbots, and if the man does not wish to take his yabama in yibum. This implies that if he would wish to, he could take her in yibum. From here we learn, ko ola yibum ola chalitza, because she ain't no ola yibum, ain't no ola chalitza. Whoever can do yibum can do chalitza, and whoever cannot do yibum cannot do chalitza. This is the reason that chalitza cannot be done the first 3 months after the husband's death, since yibum cannot be done then. So the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do yibum, and that he better not be a naughty boy and run away, because the Yavama will be supported from his property. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, the Yavama Shlosha Chadashim Rishon Nizonis Michel Baal. A Yavama, the first 3 months after her husband's death, she receives financial support from her husband's estate. From then on, she receives no support, neither from her husband's estate or from the Yavam. Amad Bedin Ubarach Nizonis Michel Yavam. If he, the Yavam, was brought to Din by the Yavama for refusing to do Yibum or Chalitza and he ran away, then she is supported from the Yavam's property. The lacha is that if she fell to a Yavam Katan, a Yavam who is a minor, she does not receive support. Mishamaya Kansua, she has been penalized by Shamayim. Her husband is not responsible for her losing out. Daf Membeis, so the Simmer Daf Membeis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must mean we're in Daf Membeis. The mobster who was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time when one was given her get before he could marry her, which reminds us, Rav explains that even though Rav holds that a woman must wait 3 months to remarry from the time of the giving of her get and not from the time of the writing, Rav would agree that in the case of a chalitza, 3 months are counted from the husband's death based on the Kavah Chomer. Issachar sitarte iser lav lokol shekain. If you permit the Yavam, who was previously forbidden to the Yavama by an Issacharis, to take her in Yibum 3 months after her husband's death, then Kal Vachomer, a new husband who was previously forbidden to her based on a love that prohibits the Yavama to marry until after she does Chalitza, should be permitted to marry her 3 months after the husband's death. So the mobster, who was fuming when he was told he had to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that all women must wait 3 months after the previous marriage before entering Erisin or Nisuin. The Gemara asks that while it's necessary for a Yavama to wait 3 months to determine if she's pregnant so that the Yavam will not come to sin, what harm is there if it turns out a woman is pregnant from her previous husband? Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that it says in the Parsha Bris Milah, to be a God to you and to your offspring after you. Rashi explains that the Shekhinah will only dwell on those whose yichus can be traced to his father. Postponing a marriage 3 months will clarify if the child is from the first marriage or not. So the mobster was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, blew his top when he was told he wasn't even permitted to marry a third woman because she was pregnant. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a man may not marry a pregnant woman since there's no confusion as to who the father is. After the first few explanations are rejected, the Gemara answers, "Stamu uberes l'manika kaima." The average pregnant woman eventually becomes a nursing woman, and the rabbanim were concerned that she might become pregnant while nursing and the milk will sour, which will lead to the infant's death. So once again, the mobster who was fuming when he was told he'd have to wait 3 months from the time one woman was given her get before he could marry her, or 3 months after the previous marriage of another woman to determine the yichus of the child, blew his top when he was told he wasn't even permitted to marry a third woman because she was pregnant. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The magazine on Psak magazine. That must be on Daf Mem Gimel. The magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam, which reminds us that Rabbi Yehovah gave over to Rabbi Nachum rules of Psak, such as Stam, Ba'akar Kach Machlokas, Halacha Kastam. So the magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erisin chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for a nursing mother and widow, which reminds us the Gemara rules regarding the waiting period required for a nursing woman and a widow before they're permitted to enter Erisin. A nursing woman needs to wait 24 months excluding the day the child was born and excluding the day she enters Erisin, and a widow needs to wait 3 months excluding the day her husband died and excluding the day she enters into Erisin. So the magazine on Psak called Halacha Kastam had a special entering into Erisin chart detailing which days are excluded from the count for nursing mother and widow, as well as a feature article on why an almana cannot enter Erisin during the 30 days of Avelis, even though she can wash her clothes. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem of Amud Aleph stated, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Nashim Yisarsu, Chutz Min Almana Mifnei Ibo, all previously married women may enter into Erisin at once, except for a widow who is forbidden to enter Erisin for 30 days because of the mourning following her husband's death. Rav Chisda questions Rabbi Yossi based on the Kal Vachomer. If in the mourning period during which it's forbidden to launder clothing, referring to the week that Tisha B'Av falls within, yet it's permissible to enter into Erisin, then in a mourning period during which it's permissible to launder clothing, referring to the 30 days of Avelis, is it not logical that it's permissible to enter into Erisin? So how can Rabbi Yossi prohibit Erisin during this time? After a long analysis and one explanation, Rav Ashi provides an alternative answer. Shani Avelis Chadashma Avelis Yoshana, recent mourning, is different than ancient mourning, but Shani Avelis the Rabbim Avelis the Yochid, and a communal mourning is different than a personal mourning, since the loss we mourn for on Tisha B'Av is not a fresh loss, and it's a communal loss. The mourning is not as strict, and therefore entering into Erisin then is permitted. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.